The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Elsewhere, one of the biggest questions in the NBA right now is, will Giannis stay or leave the Bucks? He will be an unrestricted free agent after this upcoming season, but could sign a five-year supermax deal with Milwaukee. His teammate and all-star Chris Middleton had this to say about Giannis yesterday. Quote, we've spent 8 years together. We've been through a lot together. Also, so at the end of the day, I want him to do what's best for him and his family. He knows that I deeply want him to return and sign the extension, but at the same time, I know he's got a decision that he's got to work through himself and with his family at home because those are the most important people. Now, in efforts to keep Giannis, the Bucks have acquired Jrue Holiday and also attempted to bring in Bogdanović until the deal fell apart. Max, if Milwaukee doesn't make any moves, should Giannis sign the Supermax extension with the Bucks? And Max, I said you first.
No, he shouldn't. And I know that's a lot of money to leave on the table, but the way the NBA structures things, no one leaves before 6 years if they demand a trade, or 7 years if they leave in free agency, because you leave too much money on the table. You want that first mini-max deal, which Giannis already had. He made $100 million, so he's going to be fine. I'm not counting anyone's money, but let's be realistic. It's not like the dude hasn't made money yet and isn't in a position where he doesn't have to grab right now because he hasn't come into the big cash, right? That's number one. Number two, yes, they made moves. I love Jrue Holiday. Let's take a player similar to Giannis, at least in terms of value and size, right? Anthony Davis, who a lot of people might say right now is better than Giannis. I don't know. Anthony Davis, right in his prime, had Jrue Holiday, had Mirotić, who was hurt but was healthy for the playoffs, had Rondo, had a nice little team around him, did nothing in the playoffs, didn't do anything. And do you know why they didn't do anything? Because if you're a great big, and Giannis can handle the ball, but in the playoffs he plays like a big, right? You need another dude who's just as good as you, but's not a big. Shaq needed Kobe or Dwayne Wade. Kareem needed Magic Johnson or Oscar Robertson. Like, this is the way it works. You need a big, needs another. Jrue Holiday is an excellent player. Love Jrue Holiday. He and Chris Middleton, now you're on to something. You need more. Even had the Bogdanović trade gone through, I still would have said they're a little light. And the problem, guys, is the owners played Milwaukee and Giannis cheap last year when they let Brogdon walk out the door so they could avoid a steep luxury tax bill. Because Brogdon, forget about how much value he has on the team, could have been used to make an additional move. You need so much in the NBA to win a championship. LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love and was overmatched in the finals because of the super team in Golden State, right? We look at all the excellent teams in the West, and they didn't have anything for the Lakers because the Lakers had LeBron and AD. Where is the other superstar on the Bucks? Let me tell you where he is. He ain't coming. He's never going to play with that guy if he stays in Milwaukee. If Giannis, who's already said championships are the most important thing, if he believes that, he's going to have to leave.
Well, KP, you want this or you want me to go?
Let me tell you what.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me get him real quick. First of all, Max, let me tell you where you were wrong, all right? When Golden State beat LeBron James, Kyrie and Kevin Love both were injured. Kyrie got injured in game one. Kevin Love didn't play in that series. When Kyrie and Kevin Love did play, they won. The next time
I'm talking what? About with KD, the KD teams.
With the KD teams, this is what I'm telling you, Max. Okay, at the end of the day, this is what I'm saying. When you look at Giannis, I'm going to go back to the point. When you look at Giannis and you look at the situation that he's in, he's holding the keys. The Milwaukee organization, yes, they may have dropped the ball last year by not bringing Brogdon back, but they're making up to Giannis. You have a new gym. They're building stuff around you. They're listening to your needs. They went out and they was aggressive in free agency. They picked up an all-star type player, a two-way player in Jrue Holiday, and you still have an all-star in Chris Middleton, who you love so dearly. And Giannis, you are the defensive player of the year and the MVP. So maybe it's time for you to up your game. Max, you keep talking about giving more or having more. If having a big three like that with an MVP on there is not enough, I don't know how much more you could get. And on top of that, listen, he also, let me tell you how much Milwaukee is catering to Giannis. Not only is his brother sitting on the bench, you know, collecting a check and using up a seat, you know, just because his brother is Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's one thing. But then on another, think about in the past, guys like the great Shaquille O'Neal, Grant Hill, who came back after they retired and said in stories talking about, you know, they said the only regrets that they had was leaving their franchises too early and not watching it play out. If that's not enough information for Giannis, alongside getting $200+ million and the organization is catering to you, I don't know what else you need.
Here's where I'm coming from, guys. I agree with KP, albeit for some different reasons, but I agree with KP that Giannis should sign. First of all, get your money first. You can always be traded later. Get your money first. That's number one. Get that Supermax deal. Get that money and go from there. That's number one. Number two, last time I tracked, Jrue Holiday is a pretty damn good player. Not only did he average 19 a game on 45% shooting, he's one of the elite perimeter defenders in the game. You know, and anybody who's played this game would tell you that. This guy is special on that level. Number three, when you take into account what they tried to do, now if they didn't open their big fat mouths and reveal that essentially they were going to have Bogdanovich, he'd be there too. So that was a flaw on their part, and there's no excuse for that kind of ineptitude, no doubt about it. But still, when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, you can make a legitimate argument that right now they're still the number one seed in the East. The bottom line is KD's coming back. As you said, Max, you don't anticipate he'll be 100%. What's he going to be like? You've complained about Kyrie Irving and the kind of cancerous effect you deem he has had on rosters and could potentially have on this roster. So that's a reason not to have Brooklyn elevated, even though I believe Brooklyn is. You haven't. So when I look at Milwaukee right now and what Jrue Holiday brings to the table on both ends of the floor and the fact that you got him with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then we're looking at a guy with Middleton. Middleton's got to step up, no question about it. But while we're sitting up here and condemning Chris Middleton from time to time, let's remember, the guy has averaged, he averaged 20 last year. He's a career 16-point-per-game scorer, but he averaged 20 last year, 18 the year before. He shot 45% from the field, 41% from three-point range. He's a career 39% shooter from three-point range and a career 45% shooter. The brother can score, and he can play. And so when you talk about the combination of him with Jrue Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then you take into account the fact that it's the Eastern Conference, and then you look at the fact that you got an opportunity to get a Supermax deal, to me, guess what? With Milwaukee willing to do everything for this brother, everything under the sun, all right, if you have an opportunity to compete, you were the number one offense last year, number one. All right, and we know with Budenholzer, you're going to play defense, so you got a chance. And if I'm thinking along those lines and I see a Supermax deal on the table for me, I can always force my way out, like Harden's trying to do. Once I sign a Supermax deal. If I were him, I'd say, you know what, roll the dice, stay, because you're going to get paid and you're going to be able to compete.
You could have saved a lot of breath. You made one excellent point. And only one, Supermax, get the money, worry about a trade later. I can respect that, although it gives you less leverage. Here's the problem, guys. Neither one of you want to address this. I brought it up to start the segment. Anthony Davis is maybe the second best player in the world. He played on a team with Jrue Holiday and Rondo and Mirotić.
It was just them two, Max.
Nothing. They got to the playoffs and got KO'd. It was just them two. What's that?
It was just them two. You can put Rondo all you want to, but it wasn't like they were playing the Lakers or the Clippers. They were playing the greatest shooting backcourt in history.
The point is,
the
right,
one that
the point
talk about.
Is, AD needed LeBron James to win a championship. He won sniffing a championship before then. Shaquille O'Neal, back in the day, had Penny in his prime with guys like Horace Grant, Nick Anderson, all those guys, right? He had to leave to get to Kobe Bryant to win a championship. And then Dwayne Wade, it is gangster in the NBA. A nice team that looked competitive on paper, that team doesn't win. You have to go to where it's lopsided talent. When the Warriors added KD, now they're a juggernaut, they win. You guys are talking about Harden should go to Brooklyn. If Harden goes to Brooklyn, oh my God, right. KD and Kyrie and Harden, that's what it takes. Guys, Middleton's a nice player. Every roster has a dude like Middleton on it. I like Middleton. In a good season, he's an all-star, though he goes away in the playoffs. Drew Holiday's excellent. Love him. Drew Holiday and Middleton with Giannis is not going to be enough. And we all know it. They need more. They blew their chance to get more, not only by blowing the Bogdanovich situation, which also may not have been enough, but by letting Malcolm Brogdon walk out the door so they have less now to go out and get what they need. Guys, my point is this. No free agents coming to Milwaukee.
You haven't made your point yet?
It's over. Milwaukee will be competitive, but they won't win a championship, and we all know it. It's over.
Max, first of all, look, listen. What Stephen A. Smith was trying to tell you is that right now you're talking like a typical fan, okay? See, this is what people fail to realize. The NBA is a job, and you work to get paid. And I used to tell all the rookies that was coming up under me, all the younger guys, hey, look, first thing first is get your money. Worry about everything else second. Right? And so, Giannis, right now you have a chance to get $200+ million. Secure the bag. Word, like Stephen A. Smith said, get your letters, and then if you're not happy, force your way out. But, Max, I'm going to give you an example, okay? LeBron James left Cleveland, went to Miami, won 2 championships. But we all know how that ended with him and Pat Riley. Right? It ended on bad blood. Right now, Giannis holds the keys to this franchise. The owners is giving him all the power. We don't know if he goes somewhere else that he's going to have this type of power or leverage. So right now, with the owners doing everything that you're asking them to do, take your bread and give it a shot.
They blew it. Owners blew it in Milwaukee. We all know it.
We don't know that. Houston blew their chance. Their window has closed. You can't say you wouldn't. To use your words, Max, you wouldn't sit here and say Milwaukee's not live. You wouldn't sit up there and say they're not live. They don't have a shot. We'd say Houston doesn't have a shot. You wouldn't say that about Milwaukee right now. And if they're live, why not,
guys? I'll tell you why, Stephen A., because had they done the right thing, I would say stay. They played him cheap at the wrong time. If he was in L.A., if he was in Miami, if he was in a market that was attractive to free agents, I would say, okay, there'll be more chances. There won't be in Milwaukee. They've got to work with what they have now, and it's not enough. It's not quite enough.
Max, real quick, can you just tell Stephen A., myself, and Molly, what is your point? Who do you think Giannis need to go pair up with to win a championship? Can you just tell us that then?
Giannis, for example, James Harden's on the move, right? Giannis needs a dude like that. He needs to pair himself with a guy as good as him.
He asked you where, Max?
The way Shaq did, the way Kareem
did. He asked you where? We didn't ask you for a soliloquy or a dissertation on the circumstances. He asked you where should the Greek freak go?
Where do you think he should go? It could be a place like Golden State.
Where do you think he should go? That's all.
All right, the best place for him, that's all we're asking. Could match up and trade with is probably Dallas.
Okay, thank you. At least we got the answer.
Probably
that's
Dallas.
All we asked.
Okay, you got your answer. You got the point. You got
exactly
the Dallas.
That's all right. we asked. I know it's not with Milwaukee.
But that's all we asked.
We gotta roll. Gotta roll. The Bucks have lost 8 of 13 playoff games. No bueno. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. To the pros, we have a big matchup in the NFC West this weekend when the Cardinals host the Rams. Los Angeles has a one-game lead on Cliff Kingsbury's crew. Arizona is 6-5 this season, but have lost their last two. Stephen A., coming to you on this one. Has Kingsbury now done enough where you're no longer questioning his hire?
Hell no. And let me be very, very clear. That will never be the case. Ever. I don't give a damn if he wins the Super Bowl. It still will not change my position because it was never about what he would do on the NFL level. To me, it has always been about whether or not you were worthy. This is the problem that we had. And I'm going to say it again so folks can understand it. And if they don't get it, I'll repeat it again. Okay? With every breath that I have in my body, anytime this subject comes up, I'm going to revisit this conversation. Cliff Kingsbury never deserved a job with the Arizona Cardinals. I am not saying that I wish him failure. I do not. I don't know the man. He could be the nicest dude on the planet. I don't know him. And I wish him nothing but the best now that he's here. And it's not his fault that he's the coach of the Arizona Cardinals. If I were in this position, if anybody was in his position, they would have taken the job too. It's not his fault. But he never deserved the job. He was at Texas Tech. For 6 years, he had four losing seasons. Four in 6 years. And somehow, some way, you become a head coach in the National Football League when you've never coached in the National Football League on any level? What did you do to deserve that job? Call the NFL office. Call the NFL Players Association. They will give you a list of qualified candidates, particularly of African-American descent, who have been bypassed. We have lamented the Eric Bieniemies of the world, who's been an offensive coordinator under Andy Reid for years and is a reigning Super Bowl champion and could barely get a damn interview. Jim Caldwell had 4 years in Detroit, okay, and took him to the playoffs twice. Matt Patricia, who was recently fired as the head coach of the Detroit Lions, and he deserved to be fired, this man could have won 24 straight games and still would have won less games and had more losses and a worse winning percentage than Jim Caldwell. But somehow, some way was allowed to be in that position. But at least he had a resume before he got the job because he was defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. When I brought up Steve Nash, Steve Nash, one of the nicest dudes on the planet, class personified, represented by my man Bill Duffy for years, you know, who raves about this man's character. If anybody who knows Steve Nash would rave about his character because he's a great guy. He's a Hall of Fame point guard. We know how elite he was, et cetera, et cetera. But he never coached on any level in the NBA and automatically inherits the job for the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie as the cornerstones of your franchise and potentially James Harden coming. Black dudes don't get those opportunities. And in the case of Cliff Kingsbury, what bothers me is not him. It's nothing personal about him. It's the fact that you, as a collegiate coach, didn't achieve much. You never coached on the NBA level. Ever. I'm sorry, the NFL level. Ever. And somehow, some way, you catapult to a head coaching position bypassing offensive and defensive coordinators along the way. Why? Because you used to be some offensive coordinator or something at Texas A&M or wherever the hell it was, and you knew a couple of dudes? It's utterly ridiculous because it is flagrant. And as I've said before, when that cop, Max, kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and people were in the streets rioting, protesting, etc., it was because, from a metaphorically speaking, what you're talking about is it was symptomatic of what black folks feel we go through all the damn time. How you could sit up there and just continuously put your proverbial knee on our necks and require so much of us. But when it comes to the Cliff Kingsburys of the world, oh, you can just bypass everybody with no resume and be a head coach in the NFL. So I wish him nothing but the best because I'm a fan of Kyler Murray. I'm a fan of DeAndre Hopkins. Hell, we might be worthy of being a fan of Cliff Kingsbury when all is said and done, because I don't think he's doing a bad job, but it ain't the point. The point is, you never deserved the opportunity that you received because you leapfrogged over the process in order to get to that, which is not something that happens for African Americans, particularly in the world of professional sports. And that is the crime, and that is the shame of it. And because of that, I will never change my position on Cliff Kingsbury being a head coach in the National Football League. I apologize to him and his family because it's not about him. I hate the fact that his name even has to come up because I have nothing against the man. I don't know the man. I'm not saying I wouldn't have taken the job either. I'm just saying because he's the one in that position. Anybody like him with that resume to leapfrog over people and get an NFL head coaching job without having to pay your dues, per se, to me, is criminal, because it's something that only happens for one segment of our population, and that happens to be white men.
Let me answer the question quickly, then I want to address what you said. Number one, I'm not ready to stop questioning the hire, but the returns are now looking promising for him. In other words, pretty soon I might be willing to stop, because I think he's pretty good. But we'll see over the long haul if he's actually good or they caught, you know, fire, and if they wind up with a losing record this year and next year. You know, let's see. But so far, so good. At least this season is trending in the right direction. Now to address your point. Stephen A., you're making in philosophy, it's called a descriptive claim, right? Like, this is the way things are. Then there's also something called a normative claim, meaning this is the way things ought to be. This is what I'll say. You're absolutely correct in your assessment. Who could possibly debate that? What serious person could possibly debate what you said in terms of the way things are? But it's your prescription that I push back against. This goes to like white privilege, right? I've talked on this show at times. How should I use my white privilege in this situation? Should I just, you know, should I ignore what's going on, or should I use it to speak truth to power, for example, right? I would say that white people should not be, or not white, people should not be thinking, hey, white people should be giving up white privilege, in the sense that they should give up respectful treatment, right? They should give up kind of human dignity. And they should give up taking advantage of opportunity. People should not be asked to give that up. However, what white people should absolutely insist upon is that everyone is so privileged. So my only issue with what you're saying is you're saying this does not happen for African Americans. They don't get to skip steps. So it should not happen for white people. And my response would be, I think a better prescription is this does not happen for African Americans. So we ought to make sure that it does happen also for African Americans. Otherwise, we see it largely the same way.
Okay, appreciate that. Didn't know we were going to philosophy class, but I'm with it. Always like to learn.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ben Simmons spoke for the first time in training camp today, saying it's important to make shots, but it's more important to win. I think Doc and Sam will put me in the right positions in going with the flow of the game. Obviously, a lot of changes now with the Sixers team. Max, how badly do the 76ers need Simmons to get his jump shot in order?
They'd need it badly, because if Simmons could shoot, I'd like Philadelphia to get out of the Eastern Conference, but he can't, and he doesn't. And guys, it's not even just shooting the three-point shot. I think a lot of people nowadays, they hear analytics and they think, well, that means free throws and three-point shots, right? And nothing else, no mid-range. It's just like in baseball when they heard sabermetrics years ago, Billy Bean, Moneyball, and they thought it means on-base percentage. It's not what it means. It means looking at playing efficiently. So how do you do that? Well, it depends how what the rules are, how the game is being called, what kind of shots are contested, and by how much, right? They're giving Simmons a 15-footer in. If they're just going to give that to you, take it. Forget about a three-point shot for a second. If Simmons just shot a mid-range, he'd be impossible. But he doesn't. Everything comes in the paint. And nevertheless, he's a great player, a legitimately great player. I thought he was the best defender in the league last year when he was healthy. Up to the point he got hurt, I thought he was the defensive player of the year. He's 6'10", guys, and he's a great defender, an energetic defender. And on offense, he's created more open looks from three than anyone since he entered the league. That's actually a fact. And he can do everything, everything, except shoot. If he adds a shot to his game, how do you stop Philadelphia?
Let me tell you something, man. I'm a huge fan of Ben Simmons. I think he's a jump shot away from being LeBron James part two. This brother 6'10", got a nasty handle, great basketball IQ, tremendous passing skills, an elite defender. He is something special. But that doesn't mean that he's immune to being ignorant from time to time. And to sit up there and to say with a straight face, it's not about shooting, it's about winning. Well, damn it, how do you win? You need to be able to shoot the ball. Now, Kendrick Perkins, you'll appreciate the point that I'm about to bring up. And please put me on that screen because I want to look at Kendrick Perkins when I'm saying this to him. Somebody like you, Kendrick Perkins, if you don't care about shooting, I appreciate that. You were an enforcer. You defended, you rebounded, you made sure guys came into the lane, they was going to feel your presence. You understand what I'm saying? You know, the Paul Pierces of the world and the KGs of the world and the Ray Allens of the world, you know, and to a lesser degree, the Rondos of the world, they can focus on playing together, scoring, et cetera, et cetera. Not that you aren't playing together, but what I'm trying to say is that scoring wasn't necessarily your responsibility. But in today's NBA, where you see the success of teams predicated on guard play and being formidable on the offensive end of the floor, so you are a threat and you're not playing 4-on-5 basketball when you have the ball in your hands, is something very significant. Now, I'm not talking about Ben Simmons being a marksman and all of a sudden jacking up threes or anything like that. I'm trying to say work on that element of your game where at least you're a threat. and they have to preoccupy themselves with you on the perimeter instead of stepping back into the lane and daring you to take a jump shot. Those are the kind of things that will help elevate the potency of the Sixers offense, which could ultimately lead to them doing exactly what you say it's all about, which is to win basketball games. And that's all I'm saying about Ben Simmons. Be that threat. Work on that one element of your game because everything else is there.
Well, I have to disagree with you guys, and I got to roll with Ben Simmons. I don't see nothing that he said was wrong. He's saying long as we're playing winning basketball, and to your point, Max, he's 6'10", 250 pounds. He's positionless player. He don't have a position. He's not a guard. He's not a forward. He could play all positions. So with that being said, how about put him on the low block? The man a double team. He has nice post moves on the low block. He got a right-hand hook. He has a left-hand hook. He can face you up and take you off the dribble. He's an athletic finisher around the basket. How about putting him in high pick and rolls where you have him going up to set the screen, rolling to the basket, and you have Joel Embiid rolling to replace the pick and pop for the jump shot because he's a better shooter. It's ways to implement Ben Simmons into the offense to make Philly offense better without him shooting the damn basketball. Now, when he is pushing the ball, how about the only time, a lot of the times when he is pushing the ball, he's pushing it in transition. So he's thinking getting downhill anyway. And if you come and collapse, like you said, he's great at kicking it out. So I'm with Ben Simmons. He don't have to shoot the ball in order for the 76ers to be successful because he brings so much value in other areas that it can make up for it. And by the way, like I said, he's 6'10", 250 pounds. Put him on the block. He got nice post moves. If they come in double, kick it out. You got shooters around you now. And you just go from there.
They have another guy who can do that named Joel Embiid. Here's the problem.
He can do it, but do he want to do
success,
it?
When you say they can have success, that's one thing. Of course, they're going to have success, but how do you measure success for a team with two transcendent players in their primes and a GM now like Morey who's surrounding them with shooting and efficient scoring and guys who can defend? Success should be a championship. They're not going to do it if Simmons doesn't shoot for one important reason. They will put him in the dunker spot, as they have in the playoffs. You want Simmons with the ball in his hand. And the problem is, a guy with that kind of court vision, passing ability, handles at his size, everything. He's like a basketball genius. He needs the ball in his hands. You want the ball in his hands, but you can't put him in that position if he can't shoot at all in the playoffs when those paint points aren't so easy to come by.
Well, listen, Max. Well, let me say this to MKP, and then I'll give it to you. Number one, I get where you're coming from, Max. It's just hard to listen to you since you didn't even want Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to coexist. But that's a different story for another day. What I would say to you, Kendrick Perkins, is this. Your basketball IQ is too high for you to sit up there and say what you just said when you consider the competition that he's going to have to go against. Miami, think about it. You picked Miami to beat Milwaukee, as did I. We both picked them to beat Milwaukee. Max did it, but you and I picked Miami to beat Milwaukee. Why did we make that selection? Because we saw the marksmen that they had all over the place, and we knew that shooting would neutralize whatever the Greek freak threw in their direction. When we fantasize about what Brooklyn's going to be, it's because of what they can do from the perimeter. So I'm saying to you, yeah, they're going to win their share of regular season games. They'll win 50-plus games. They'll get to the postseason. We get that. But when we talk about championship, KP, if Ben Simmons, and I know you're talking about him scoring in the post as opposed to the perimeter, but I'm thinking about the ball being in his hands, him being able to run that offense because his IQ is so high and his ball handling and passing skills are so sublime. I'm asking you, KP, are you telling me that if Ben Simmons doesn't develop a perimeter shot, it's not going to be that important to come out of the East?
No, it's not. It's not. I watched Doc Rivers put Rajon Rondo in the position where early in his career he was just like Ben Simmons when we won the championship. He did not take jump shots. Doc had him. He would tell him, "Hey, if they sagging off of you, Rondo, take up the space and attack them still, and then drive." Huh?
Did
no,
he do
he
it
didn't.
In the
not the first season. Not the first. No, not the first year that we won the championship. Doc used to have Rondo double flooding to
on that team.
Listen to what I'm saying, Max. Max, I get all that. I'm telling you what Doc did to make Rondo effective because they wasn't guarding him because he wasn't shooting the ball. What I'm saying was he used to have Rondo double flooding in the paint. I would duck in, then clear out, take a man with me, and Rondo would cut right in the middle of the paint and get an easy layup. Those are the type of things that Doc Rivers could draw up for Ben Simmons. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Max. And it's other
Jake
ways
Milton's
to value
nice
and get the most
Simmons
out of him so that Philly
shoot
could be successful without him worrying about taking a damn jump shot.
Shake Milton's a nice player. If Simmons doesn't learn how to shoot at least the mid-range, Shake Milton will have the ball in his hands at the end of games, not Ben Simmons. Do you want that?
Max, just because he had the ball in his hands don't mean it's his play. He could be orchestrating the damn offense, Max, without shooting the ball. He could all be right. Shake Milton could have the ball in his hands and be
Kirk,
running the play for Joel Embiid
or
Ben Simmons.
That's true.
Guys, I'm being told we have to wrap. We have a guest waiting. I do want to mention, though, that he also said, Ben Simmons, that he's going to move in with Joel Embiid this season so they can get to know them better.
Brilliant.
So I guess they're actually going to be living together as well to build that chemistry. Perk, great to have you with us. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk to you soon. That note, I want to get into some NFL right now, fellas. So let's keep the show moving. The NFC Worst Cowboys will try to keep pace in the NFC Least when they face off old friend Dez Bryant and the Ravens. Dallas is coming off a beating at the hands of Washington on Thanksgiving. On that note, we bring in NFL Network's Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Kyle's been with us before. We had a really good time and great to have you back with us. So good morning to you, Kyle. I know you've already been doing a lot of television, so I'm just going to roll right into it and start
all
with
right
you, sir. Thanks for being here.
Let's go.
How should the Cowboys feel going into this tough matchup with Baltimore?
Well, they got to answer the tough questions, and I'll just say it right now. The questions the Cowboys have to answer is Stephen A. going to use dark chocolate chips or milk chocolate chips on Sunday when he makes the batch of cookies? Is he going to go whole milk or 2% milk to celebrate this loss?
Well, I'm going to do the 2% because I'm lactate intolerant, you know, so I'm going to do the 2%. But I will say this. My sister Carmen is the one that makes that decision, not me. You understand what I'm saying?
Huge
she's
respect
the one that makes
to
the
Carmen.
Chip cookies.
Maybe
they're
some
homemade chocolate
milk
chip cookies, Kyle.
They're worried about the cookies. They're not worried about Ben Simmons mid-range. They're worried that Lamar's going to play. They're worried that Zeke can't hold onto the ball because he's holding all their money. They're worried that maybe they should try the 15th fake punt of the season, even though the first 14 haven't happened. You know what they're thinking? Can we just lose? How about just a respectable 27-14 loss where we're not embarrassed? At this point, that does feel like a win for Dallas. That's where we're at.
Listen, how should Cowboy fans feel?
Yeah.
My hope would be miserable. It's Thanksgiving. It's approaching Christmas. And that means that Dallas Cowboy fans are doomed to be very, very miserable, which makes me very, very happy. I think people think I hate the Cowboys. No, I don't hate the Cowboys. I hate their fans. I think that the fans are the worst in American history. I can't stand Cowboy fans. I despise them. All right? So it's a good thing, and I'm happy about that. But I will tell you this, Kyle. I watched it the other morning. I really appreciated your take on the Las Vegas Raiders and the way they wet the bed against the Falcons last week. The way to get at them because they deserved every bit of it. The Cowboys have been so awful. It's gotten to a point where it's almost difficult to laugh at them because you run out of things to laugh at them about. Your quarterback situation. You certainly ain't happy that Dak Prescott got himself injured. But I remember when Andy Dalton was chewing out the offensive lineman, and then a few plays later, he got concussed and knocked out by a member from the Washington football team. Ezekiel Elliott, for some reason, suddenly can't hold on to the ball. Maybe you need to go to Cabo and chill for a few weeks and then come back and learn, or just cheat and apply Velcro or stick them to his hands or something. Can't hold on to the damn football. And then you've got receivers like, you know, CeeDee Lamb. He even dropped the pass for crying out loud, but we know he can ball. You got CeeDee and Amari and Gallup. Gallup's basically been non-existent because CeeDee Lamb is that new dude with Amari Cooper. And on the defensive side of the ball, to me, I hold Coach Mike McCarthy accountable for bringing in that defensive coordinator. The last time we saw the man, Nolan, he was defensive coordinator in Atlanta. They had the 31st ranked defense in the NFL. He was out of the business for 6 years, meaning as a coordinator, and somehow you would think to bring him back. And this is after you got the Dallas Cowboys job and try to convince us that you saw the error of your ways and you were trying to be a bit more innovative and not archaic, but you bring back the same old dude the last time we saw him 6 years earlier. Could have produce. So they deserve what they get. As a result, the fans should feel miserable, and they should feel so miserable that they've reached the conclusion maybe it's time for us to give up on them for a damn change instead of thinking they're going to win the Super Bowl.
You guys are missing it, especially you, Stephen A. I'm shocked and disappointed in you. First of all, let me say, I hate the Cowboys. Forget about the fans. I know a lot of Cowboys fans. They are, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you have a soul and you root for an out-of-market team and you're around our age, Stephen A., you should root for the Steelers. Those were the people with souls. And then the terrible people rooted for the Cowboys. So I get your point, but I actually hate the Cowboys. Hate the Cowboys. I'm a Giants fan. I hate them. Let me just say, though, Stephen A., it's your philosophy. It's your theory I'm going to borrow from here. The Cowboys build you up first. And then they let you down. It's not time yet. Look, they recently narrowly lost to Pittsburgh and beat a Vikings team that had just cleaned out the NFC North. They beat all the rivals in the NFC North, and then the Cowboys beat them, right? Look at the rest of their schedule. The Ravens on a short week dealing with COVID. Then the Bengals. Those are winnable games, guys. Then the Niners, who they can play defense still. We saw it against the Rams, but that's not an unbeatable team. Then the Eagles and Giants. Guys, they're only one game out of first place. Yes, the Cowboys will break their fans' hearts, but they're not going to fall two games out of first place or three games out of first place already. They have to keep their fans' hopes alive so that ultimately they can crush them. Stephen A., how'd you miss that?
I didn't miss it. We all have our preferences.
Didn't miss it.
You focus on stuff that I don't particularly care about when it comes to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I focus on what I care about. The fact of the matter is the Cowboys already stink. I would have preferred that they were a bit better and teased people into thinking they were relevant and then came crashing down. They've already crashed, and they're damn near burning.
But, Stephen, right, we can't keep mentioning.
No, go ahead. Last word, yeah.
We can't keep mentioning that they lost their quarterback. Washington's quarterback almost lost his leg. The Giants lost their quarterback. The Eagles quarterback, I think, lost his mind. We're way past that. It's December right now. It's the season of miracles. Max, I love the letdown theory, but it's time to do it. The season's almost over. It's an embarrassment.
Okay. Works for me. I can go with
it. It is the season of miracles. Can Cleveland have a miracle? That's the next topic here, guys. Let's keep it moving. The 8-3 Browns facing a tough test this weekend when they face King Henry and the Titans in Nashville. Cleveland has won three straight and currently holding the 5 seed in the AFC playoff picture. Kyle, up first again. Do you believe in
this
Baker
is exciting.
And the crew?
Oh, yes. All right. Now, listen. If they go 9-3, that'll be their first time 9-3 since Bill Belichick was their coach. Before that, you have to go back to when Otis Redding was at the top of the charts. Otis Redding, that is how long it's been. This is exciting. But do you believe in them? I don't know if they have a star quarterback. I don't know if they have a primetime quarterback. Everybody keeps saying, Baker hasn't thrown an interception in over a month. Well, he hasn't really been chucking it either. It's like a batter who says, I haven't struck out in a long time. We haven't swung the damn bat. Here's how I feel about the offense right now for the Browns. And Max, I don't know if you agree. I feel like when I watch their offense, I see some Vladimir Klitschko in them, in that Chubb and Hunt are this great jab. Hunt, Chubb, Hunt. But they're sitting here with this right hand just cocked. They go rounds, sometimes entire fights without throwing it. This is supposed to be your quarterback, your overhand right. And I don't know if Baker doesn't have the power or doesn't have the spine, but he's not throwing it. And I'll tell you something else they have in common with Klitschko. Few chin concerns, too, after what I've seen with Pittsburgh and Baltimore did with them, too. They're still searching for their mouth guard from that one.
Good analogy, although Klitschko had a devastating right hand. You couldn't tell when it was coming. Baker
Maybe
doesn't.
Baker does.
Kyle, when you say, like, I don't know that they have a star quarterback, I know that they don't. He's not a star. He doesn't do it. Like, in college, he had that high completion percentage, and he projected to maybe be the best quarterback in the draft, it wasn't the case. He was throwing to wide open receivers, in fact. He does not have that kind of next level accuracy or speed or maybe even moxie at this point. It may have been beaten out of him by defenses in the NFL to be special. He is a game manager. He's a guy they try to hide. He was a guy I thought is just the opposite of what I thought he was. I thought he'd be really accurate and that he's just the guy you want for a big play. But in fact, he's okay. His arm is good enough. His accuracy is kind of good enough. He's sort of mobile enough to play in the NFL and to start. But he ain't going to get you there. He has he's loaded with weapons on offense. This is a, you know, but when are they good? With Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And the reason is their quarterback isn't that great. He's okay. Baker is okay, and I don't believe in them.
Well, let me say this to you, Kyle. You know, occasionally I get a chance to watch you guys on a morning show.
Thanks, Stephen.
Kay Adams, Peter, and Nate Burleson is my brother. I've known him for a while. That's my brother right there.
Mine too.
And I think you do an outstanding job. And I think one of the reasons you do an outstanding job is because you don't lie to the American people. So why the hell would you come on First Take and lie right now? You sat up there and said you don't know whether or not the Browns have a star quarterback. Yes, you do know. They don't.
No,
you do know this. There's no guessing here.
No lies detected, Stephen A.
Excuse me?
No lies detected.
I'm just saying.
I'll tell you why. All you need to do for Baker Mayfield this weekend, look across the field at the other sideline. Max, would you say a year ago that you'd loved Ryan Tannehill, or was he a middling sort of non-winner? He turned it around. He's knocking the Ravens out of the playoffs.
He was a bust. He was a bust. Yep.
I know. So, Baker, look at
Let me say
Tannehill.
This.
That could be Baker.
Let me say this. I'll say they ain't no damn star at the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Okay. Now, Baker Mayfield is not a scrub, but he's not the dude that you go like this, Kyle. Here you go. Could you take us there? He ain't that dude. The fact of the matter is, if you look at Cleveland's recent success and you really track it, everything is evolved around Nick Chubb. The fact that Nick Chubb is back in that lineup, the fact that he's been balling the way that he's been balling, running the football as effectively as he has. And to be honest, Odell Beckham Jr. is not there, even though he's a stud. Clearly, with him on the field, you are Baker Mayfield. You might have felt a bit compromised deciding. You might have needed to force him the ball as opposed to giving it a bit more to Jarvis Landry or Hooper or somebody else. Even though Odell Beckham Jr., I saw plenty of games where he wasn't getting the football thrown to him enough. Let's give Kevin Stefanski a bit credit because
he said,
look, manage the damn game. Let's run the football. Let's get at the quarterback on the defensive side of the ball. Let's make things happen. Let that be our formula for success. It ain't about no damn Baker Mayfield. So as I answered earlier in the show, do I believe in the Browns in terms of getting to the postseason and potentially making some noise? If I did, it would be because they can get to the quarterback and because they can run the football. And those two elements go with you anywhere. Is Baker Mayfield going to be that dude? Hell no. Let's just call
it.
9-3,
Stephen A. 9-3. Otis Redding, I started the conference. I've seen a lot of good Browns running backs come through there. I'm not seeing a lot of quarterbacks take them to 9-3. Well, Stefanski, he's an erudite Pennsylvania Quaker.
How's the Vikings offense now without Stefanski, though? It may be the right head coach, and I appreciate your point about Tannehill. Absolutely. Like, most guys are not Mahomes, who will be great independent of coaching, or Aaron Rodgers, but are best when they're with great coaching. Most guys are coaching dependent. And Baker Mayfield's had four head coaches in at one point in just about
two seasons.
He had four head
coaches. Why was
coaches.
That? But hold it. He got Hugh Jackson fired appropriately so. He got Hugh Jackson go.
Go
but
on.
He's the
Kyle,
one that picked Freddie
Baker
Kitchens.
Mayfield do?
He picked Freddie Kitchens.
What does Baker Mayfield do extraordinarily well? He's okay. I'm not saying he's terrible, but what does he do when you look at him, you go, he's really good at that? What is that thing?
I think he's pretty funny in those commercials, Max. I got to be honest. I think they're good.
Them damn progressive commercials. I give him credit
for
this.
Quick, one more topic. Guys, let me get
him credit for this.
Let me get
him
one more.
He's got more wins now than progressive commercials.
Okay.
I'll give him credit for that.
Max, you're up first. How should Rodgers feel about the Tavon Austin signing? Max?
Come on. He should be upset. Come on, guys. You didn't help him out at all on offense in the draft. You drafted his successor. You didn't give him any defensive help. He's 37 years old. It's a slap in the face. Oh, look, you got him a first rounder to throw to. Stop it.
Are you talking about Tavon Austin? Are you talking about Kirkland brand Percy Harvin? His reaction is meh, M-E-H, meh. Max is all over it. This is the person who blows it on the anniversary, blows it with the gift on the birthday, and then Christmas comes around and they try to go big. They showed up with a chain restaurant gift card. Roger's saying, what am I supposed to do with this? Losing the playoffs again? It's probably what'll happen.
Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot surefire future Hall
yes.
of Famer. One of the greatest quarterbacks this game has ever seen. And he's thrown two passes in his career to a first-round wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Two. Mm-hmm. If that is not an indictment against the Green Bay Packers, I don't know what can be. It is a mm-hmm. shame. It is a travesty that they have subjected him to that. And that's all I have to say.
All right, amen. I will leave you with this. Kyle Brandt, always fun to yes. have you on the show. I know you have a podcast as well, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. People can check that out on YouTube and
Where's
Spotify. And, of course, on Good Morning Football
Stephen,
as well.
Like
say hi to all the NFL Network peeps for me. Come back and join us soon. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.